You can't do that. You're inferior. You have no purpose. You are worthless. You are unloved, and nobody's ever going to love you. Lies. Filthy, disgusting lies.
Right.
Yep. The truth is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen.
Your life is precious. As precious as any other. God has a purpose for you. Specifically for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you.
Amen.
And so do His people.
Amen.
Sometimes, because of things that we've been through in our life, or because of the way we interpret experiences, we start to believe things that are not true. We start to believe these lies that the enemy tells us, and we begin to act on them, or not act on them. And so they begin to imprison us. They begin to bind us. Jesus said the truth makes us free.
Amen.
Where is the truth? The truth is in His Word. That's what Jesus says. We'll go ahead and get started by reading that. And I've started a little ways into verse 31. He says, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen. Amen.
So where do the lies come from that we believe?
Flesh and devil.
Sometimes they come from our culture. Our culture, and I don't know that we're really any different than any other in this respect, but we worship perfection. And we believe people if they look good on camera. We believe people are telling us the truth sometimes just because they're standing up there and they look pretty. Which means y'all probably don't hear a word I'm saying. But we do. We have this unrealistic expectation, and we worship perfection. Well, actually, worshiping perfection is not a bad thing as long as that perfection is God.
That's right. Amen.
But when there is imperfection, we're shamed. And so we believe things that aren't true about us. Sometimes, unfortunately, the lies come out of our churches. We pick up things from the culture. And we start to internalize them and make them part of our traditions and the things that we hold dear. And they're not anything that God told us. Sometimes we misinterpret the scriptures, make them say things that they don't really say. Make them say that everybody, in order to be faithful, in order to be in good with God, or however you want to put that, you have to be healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Amen.
I guess they never really looked too closely at Paul's life. Or Jesus's, for that matter. Sometimes we ignore the life-changing truth that really would set us free. We're not telling people that we all need Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's controversial. If you say that Jesus is the only way, people might get offended. If you say, if you call sin, sin, people might get offended. So we leave it out. I haven't seen us do that here. But it's very common. We're not telling people that they're lost without Jesus. And that serving Him is not all roses. That it involves sacrifice sometimes.
Right, amen.
Sometimes the lies come from those that are closest to us, unfortunately. sometimes they mean well. On Father's Day, we talked a little bit about how sometimes parents push and say things to their kids that maybe aren't the right things to say because they think that they're doing good and pushing them to do better. Sometimes things that get said to us are not well meant. They're said in anger. Oh, we need to take such care with our words that we affirm, and that when we're angry and that we're, when we're in the midst of emotion, that we don't say things that we can't take back.
Amen.
I've said things I sure wish I could take back.
Yep.
And I've heard things that even though I've forgiven and moved on, I'll never be able to forget. And I suspect that that's true of all of us.
Amen.
All of this can result in wrong thinking. Sometimes the lies come out of the wrong thinking that we have in our own minds. It may have resulted from the experiences that we've had and the things that have been told to us, but when we start to believe it, when we start to internalize it, sometimes we misinterpret our life experiences and we assume that, well, because this happened, it means this. Because I wasn't successful at this, it means I'm not going to be successful at anything. We need to be renewing our minds. We talked about that. Remember Romans 12. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And how do we renew our minds? By changing what we think about and by changing what we do.
Amen. That's right.
But ultimately, Priscilla already said it, ultimately, lies come from Satan himself, the father of lies. We need to stand against him. Jesus said in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So let's deal with some of these lies that we started out with. That believe, and it's only a small sampling. There's all kind of ways that we get off. But this is just a sample, and I chose these because I think that a lot of us who have faced disability face these particular lies in particular. Boy, that was redundant, wasn't it? You can't do that. Whatever it is, we're told from the beginning, many of us, I'm thankful that I didn't hear it very often, but I didn't need to hear it necessarily. Sometimes I decided for myself that I couldn't do it. And then later learned, you know what, there are people who do that. There are people just like me who do that. I could have done that if I really wanted to.
Right.
Yeah. So it's easy for us to get sidetracked and think, well, I can't do that because name your whatever. And certainly not limited to people with disabilities. You know, there are things all of us can't do. You know, I think it would be real cool to be able to drive the bus. But you know what? I better not do that. I suppose you can't really say that I can't do that. I can physically get in there and drive, but you better make sure you know where I'm going before we get there. Or where you're going, I should have said. That's something I really can't do. There's
Amen.
There are things that we can't
do. I'm with you.
But we tend to make that list a lot bigger than it is. Because if he wants it done and he wants you to do it, guess what?
You'll do it.
You can do it.
Amen.
That's what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. He said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen.
Now this is in a context. We always want to examine the context a little bit of scriptures. And this context is, you know, him being content in all the circumstances that he may find himself in. Well, that's a good lesson for us too. But I believe it also has that broader application. If God intends for you to do it, He is going to give you the strength to do it. It's interesting that when I looked at this, most of us may have learned it out of the King James, and I believe it says, through Christ who strengthens me. So why would it not say Christ here? Well, I looked it up because I thought that was interesting. And it turns out that there's no word there. Your Bible may have it italicized. There's no actual word there. Now, obviously, that's what Paul's talking about. But maybe we should broaden that a little bit further and think about the Trinity. Think about Father God. Think about the Holy Spirit. In particular, the Holy Spirit, who is the agency of Jesus in our lives and in our hearts. Get to know Him. Know that if He wants you to do it, you can do it. But you're not going to know what He wants you to do unless you're asking Him. Unless you're staying in the Word. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's hit the next one. You are inferior. It's another strong one for us, isn't it? We look around us and we see people doing things, and maybe it's because of disability, maybe it's not. All of us tend to compare ourselves to other people, and we see what they can do, and we see what we can't do. And sometimes we're ashamed. Breaks my heart when I see this, particularly for people that are facing disability that are so ashamed and embarrassed to even be seen having trouble, be seen struggling with whatever it is that they're struggling with. There's no shame in that. It's who you are. It's all right. Go ahead and do what you can do. Don't worry about people looking at you. I don't have to worry about that too much. I know they're looking at me, but I don't care. I realize it's harder if you can see those eyes.
Amen. Yeah.
Praise God. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Amen. And it's magnified. That shame gets magnified if somehow we think that we did something that led us to be where we are. Well, in many cases, that's not true. But maybe it is. Maybe you did something that landed you in the situation that you're in. Well, if so, accept His forgiveness. Accept His forgiveness and believe that He is big enough to keep using you just how you are. God wasn't surprised by whatever it was that happened to you. And He's still got a plan.
Amen.
You know, it'll help. Linda touched on this a little bit today. It'll help if you're not looking at yourself. Keep your focus on God.
Amen.
And know that He makes no difference. He makes no difference between you and anybody else when it comes to salvation, when it comes to His plan for your life. That's what Galatians 3:28 says, and again it's in context. We'll get to the context here in a minute, because there's something beautiful in that too. But He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And we shouldn't disregard the context here. He is talking here about the law. And how we're all not free from the law. But there's something interesting about this, which I just realized as I was reading it. The law treats all of these groups differently. There are special laws for women in the Old Testament, in the Levitical law. And special laws for slaves. And you know what? There are also special laws for the disabled. The disabled could not serve as priests in the temple. And we look at that and we're offended sometimes, but God was making a point that perfection is required. And it required a perfect sacrifice and a perfect high priest. But you could add to this now that Paul is saying, based on that, there is neither disabled nor whole. God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
That's the next thing. And I'm going to point you to Ephesians 2:10. Now, we know 2:8-9, we read that a lot, but he keeps going. And he says this, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We've already said he doesn't make any difference between us. He's got plans for you. He's got a purpose. Don't fall into the lie that you have no purpose. Start praying and seeking God and finding out what it is. Let's hit the next one. You are inferior. You are worthless. No, you're not. This is a beautiful psalm, and I wish we had time to read the whole thing. We're just going to read three verses out of Psalm 139. I'm going to start at 14. "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. This my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the..." "When I was made in the secret..." Something's...
"When I was made in secret."
"When I was made in secret." That's why I'm not getting it right. "When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days..." "Or my days were ordained..." "The days were ordained for me when there was not yet one of them." Boy, I should have practiced that. Praise God. But what does it mean that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? That word kind of caught me off guard, so I looked it up. Again, and some translations will put "remarkably" in there. But I don't think that's necessarily the best, just based on the Hebrew, I don't think that's necessarily the best translation. Even though "fearfully" doesn't quite convey what we think it should convey in our modern language, I think that the word "remarkably" reduces the impact of this. It's the same word that's used when we talk about fearing the Lord. And so, what does it mean? How can the Lord have fearfully made us? How can he have reverently made us? After all, he's God. But I think what this is telling us is how much we should respect life. How much your life is worth. You were fearfully, reverently, specially made. You had worth from the moment that you were conceived. God had a plan for every one of your days.
Amen.
Believe that. God does not, you've heard it before, God does not make mistakes.
Amen.
There may have been people, there may be people who hear this that they were even told they were a mistake. They know that their parents didn't plan. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God knew every day before it happened. God has your life. God has your life in his hands. You are of infinite, I don't know, maybe only God is of infinite worth. But you are of great worth. God loves you. Don't let anybody tell you, the last one, that you're not lovable. Don't let anybody tell you that nobody loves you. And don't tell yourself that. Don't let Satan tell you that. It's almost the most damaging thing you can believe. because it's so hurtful. And it leads us to do such terrible things. It leads us to do things that hurt us because we're chasing after that love that we think we can't have. And we do anything to get even a simulation of that love. The simulation is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, I beg you not to go there. All it leads to is heartache and destruction. Consider what we just read. And know that God loves you. Sometimes, this is harder to believe for us, and I know it has been for me, than that other people could love me, because I realize how good and how holy and how wonderful God is, and how much I fall short. And I find it sometimes difficult to imagine that, wow, Lord, you really love me? I messed up so bad. I've done this. And you know, it's not like I've been a murderer or anything, but I should know better. I'm a preacher's kid. After all, I've been raised in this stuff. How come I'm not further along? How could you want anything to do with me? That's not from God.
No.
He gave His life. Yeah, we've got problems. We've got sins in our life. He gave His life to clean that up.
That's right.
He gave His life because He loves you that much.
Amen.
Like my wife likes to say, we need Jesus with skin on. Well, He's got a glorified body. He didn't lose His skin. But what's meant by that is we need a tangible representation of that love. So let His people love you. You know, we're not perfect. We're going to mess up sometimes. Sometimes we're going to mess up bad. But know that God never fails. And don't give up. As you become more confident in how much God loves you and how lovable you are, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become more lovable.
That's true.
Because your attitudes begin to change. The things that maybe drive people away will begin to be moderated as the joy of the Lord begins to take over your life and as these things begin to change. Start by showing love. If you're looking for love, start by showing love.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs, if you need love, give yourself and be love. You know, our own relationship, I know that there are people here that desire greatly to have a romantic relationship. If Linda hadn't made the effort to talk to me, if she hadn't gone yet another step and offered to spend time with me, helping me do something that I needed to get done, we used to go shopping. We never would have gone anywhere. Now, she wasn't thinking romantically at that time. She was just trying to be a friend to somebody and help somebody that needed help. But nevertheless, she did a loving thing. She took a loving step. And if I hadn't determined at some point, actually I remember the exact day and why and how it happened, but if I hadn't determined at some point to show her love wherever it went, whether it went romantically or not, and begin to do that for her, we wouldn't be here today.
Awesome.
You're looking for that kind of relationship. Be loving. See what God does. And be patient. I was 34 before we got married. And I know I'm by no means a record. But Jesus gave us that example. Jesus gave us the ultimate example. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated His own love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Which leads me to one more thing I need to talk about as far as lies go. Because there's one big lie that's worse than all the others. And it's going to sound funny for me to say this after I spent all this time building you up, telling you how wonderful you are.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, the biggest lie that we can ever believe is that we're fine just the way we are. Why would I say that? Because we all need Jesus.
Amen.
Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because we're all unworthy. And that's why Jesus did what he did. If you forget everything else, don't forget that. Because it's the key to everything else working out. He is constantly working in us, even after we get saved, dealing with those things, those fleshly things that we still struggle with. We need him constantly.
Amen.
We never get to a place where we don't need him. We're not okay the way we are. But God loves us anyway. And he keeps working with us. So how do you start to get freedom? If you know that you're struggling with some of these lies in your life, how do you start to get freedom? What did Jesus say? Remain in my word. Choose to believe what he said. Accept his leadership. Accept his lordship in your life, first of all. That's the first act of believing. If you haven't done that, nothing else is going to work very well. But then, spend some time. That's what Linda was talking about in the Sunday school. Spend some time. Getting to know him. Spend some time in the Word. You know, you can't know somebody that you don't ever talk to.
Amen.
If we never make an effort to get to know the Lord, we're going to be in the same place over and over again. I wonder sometimes why we struggle, why we keep falling back into the same things. It's because we don't do anything to change.
Right.
We don't do anything to improve that relationship so the Lord can lead us, so we can learn to hear his voice. I've prayed, I don't know how many times, Lord, if you just speak to me, if you just tell me what I need to do, I'll do it. He says, you never listen. But it does take some time. It takes getting our mind free of the clutter and just opening ourselves up to hear from him. And he will guide us. He may not necessarily speak in an audible voice. I can't really say that I've ever heard him speak in an audible voice. But you know, I look forward to that day. I believe it'll happen. Maybe I presume too much. But I do believe and have absolute confidence in God's faithfulness that if we spend the time, if we make the effort, give him part of our day, give him our attention, he will guide us, he will lead us, and we will learn to hear his voice. The more that we know him, the more we understand what he thinks. And the more we know what he thinks, the less we're going to believe those lies the enemy throws at us.
That's right.
And finally, do something with it. Because when you do something with it, it takes the focus off of you. When you're actively involved in doing whatever it is that you think that the Lord has called you to do, and sometimes, and if you don't know, that's all right. Do like pastors always say it. Do something good for somebody this week.
Amen.
Just be actively involved in doing good. When you get out there and you're aware of what else is going on around you, suddenly your situation doesn't look so bad. Maybe it is pretty bad, but that's not your focus anymore. Your focus is the Lord. Your focus is the things that he loves, the people that he loves. Allow his truth to show evidence in your life. And as you begin to see that, you don't have as much trouble believing. It's one thing for me to stand up here and tell you all these things, and I hope that that helps. But until you start to see it in your own life and believe it for yourself, it's just words. So get out there and live it.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Let us never lose sight of that. I pray for anyone here that is struggling with those lies that have been fed to them over the years. And we all deal with them in some form or another. I know that I deal with them. I don't think I even understand what they all are yet. But I just pray that your Holy Spirit will give everyone here a revelation of who you are, who they are in you. Allow those lies to be thrown out by the truth in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Definitely want